Are you ready for the word this morning? I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John 4. I'll get there in just a little bit. We're continuing the message from last week, and we're talking about the power of righteousness and walking in faith. Walking in the faith. One of the things that we said last week, and I want to say it again this week, faith is natural to a righteous man. When you are walking in the righteousness of God, and by which we are made through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when you are walking in righteousness, faith is just there. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to strive for it. It is just there because you're walking in God's ability. Now, one of our foundation verses for this message is Habakkuk 2:4, where it says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." See, the soul of the proud is not right. They don't think right because the proud is he's self-sustained. He's drawing on his own resources. And one of the books I'm reading recently says, you know, when you make decisions without anybody else making input into those decisions or giving you input, you only know what you know. You can never make a decision based on more than what you can know if that's all that you know. But if you join yourself with God and have God give you input, now you've got someone else to partner with to help you make the right decision. Because it's no longer just based on what you know, but God can speak to you and God can give you understanding. Therefore, it's by faith because now you're walking in the righteousness of God. Amen. So, the just, the righteous man shall live by his faith. A righteous man has no sin or failure consciousness. Now, it doesn't that doesn't mean how do I say this? Because I've really been thinking about this for the last few weeks. Sometimes we think, well, I'm without sin. Well, that's not totally true. But if you have a righteousness consciousness, what it means is not that you don't have an awareness of your weaknesses, but you have an awareness that in any situation I am in, I will not fail because God is with me. I will not lack because God is with me. I will not have a lack of resources because God is with me. If I'm right with God, I've got everything I need. We can do this thing if God is with me. If I walk in that righteousness, that consciousness, it's not just, I have never sinned. Oh, I've sinned a lot. I have never failed. No, I have failed a lot. Well, I don't always think right. But righteousness is not that I'm perfect, but righteousness is I'm walking in God's abilities and not my own. I'm not being proud in myself, but I'm lifting up God and I'm drawing on Him to help make me do the right thing and to help get over the things and accomplish the things that I need to accomplish. Amen? So a righteous man is not aware of lack because God is his provider. When confronted with a challenge, he automatically thinks all things are possible. He has a can-do attitude. Now, who would this describe in the Bible? This person with the righteousness consciousness that I can do all things. Who would that possibly describe? How about Jesus? Jesus knew he could do all things. Jesus knew whatever he saw the Father do, he could do. He had that awareness. He had that awareness. He didn't have sin holding him back. He said, man, I really blew it yesterday, so I don't know if I can lay hands on people today. Can you see Jesus going to a meeting like that? I'm declaring the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is present with us. Oh, wait, I better not preach that because yesterday I blew it. I ate fried fish, and you're not supposed to eat fried fish. It should be baked fish. I got to keep the diet. Can you imagine Jesus excluding himself on the basis of sin? He had no awareness of sin. In other words, he did not have an awareness that sin was blocking his access to God or what he could do through God. Sin was not a barrier. When Jesus laid hands on people, can you feature Jesus, oh, Father, I hope this works? Can you imagine him doing that? See, he had no consciousness of failure. If I lay hands on you, you will be healed. And he tells that to us. He says, you will lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. When I remember the first time I laid my hands on somebody for healing, oh God, please let it work. You know, I'm just being obedient to the word. God, you said lay hands on it. And I remember when before we even understood the word of faith or we understood faith at all, we would have people in our denomination because we believed in healing for or anointing for healing. Not for last rites. Anointing was always for healing. And it was a ritual in the church. And we'd have people come forward and say, Gordon, I'm going to the hospital for surgery. I need to be anointed. I'm thinking, well, okay. You know? And I know anointing for healing worked because my mother was healed that way of severe heart conditions. I mean, you know, and they just, instead of doing 3 valve replacements, instead of her dying on the table, which is about a 50% chance when she had her heart surgery, she came through and they said they opened her up, scraped out the valves, had very little damage in the valves, sewed her up and said, you're good to go. You know, but I remember when the first person came to me, it's like, well, I've participated in anointings, but I've never anointed somebody. But the Bible says if you anoint them, they'll be healed. Well, okay. And the first time someone got healed, going, son of a gun. You know. This stuff can really work, you know? But see, Jesus doesn't have that problem because he doesn't have a failure consciousness. If I cast out devils, they're going to go. Not, I hope. If I take authority, I'm in charge. See, this is a righteousness consciousness, and we see that in Jesus. He was one with the Father. He was so confident, he could tell the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wow, that is righteousness consciousness. That's what it's like to be sin free. That's what, if you've seen me, I only do what I've seen my Father do. So if you've seen me, you've seen the works of the Father. See, that's why we can say confidently that Jesus reveals the Father to us, because that's what he came to do. Now, he can't do that if he says, oh, I don't know if the Father is with me today. Well, I have to check out and see. No, he knew. He knew who he was in God, and he never strayed from that. He never changed his attitude, and he has made you and I with the same potential that we can believe God and get out of our reasons for why it won't work for us. Because we all have those excuses, don't we? How many have it? No, I won't ask you to raise your hands. But it's like, if you think about it, every time God asks you to do something, every time you feel compelled to do something that you know would be, you know, you just have that inkling, I think this might be God. You can come up with a list of 30 excuses for why it can't be done. The timing's not right. I don't have the money. I don't have this. Nobody else will support it. The enemy will come and assault me, blah, blah, blah. And you can go on. But the question is, did God tell you to do it? Well, then the provision comes with the doing. If you don't do it, God won't send the provision because you're not going to do anything with it. The anointing comes to accomplish a work, not to make you feel good. But Lord, we want to feel good. We want all the money in the bank account first. It normally doesn't work that way. If you're not going to do anything with it, you're going to keep that money in the bank account, and God has other people who will do something with it to give the money to. Amen? If you want witty inventions, you got to be willing to invent. You've got to be ready to do these things, or why would God give you the access to wisdom? Amen? Okay, so Jesus is that example of a righteous man. Now, have you found 1 John? In chapter 4, verse 17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness, confidence. He says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, this isn't talking about when you die and go to heaven. As he is, Jesus, the resurrected Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, all things have been given under his authority in heaven and on earth. As he is, so are we in this world now, today, this moment, because love has been perfected among us. He says, there is no fear in love. Now see, let me give some practical, we may not get through this again. The practical interpretation or application of this is if perfect love casts out fear, then if God asks me to do something, I know that God loves me. I know that God is with me. We're not talking about our love for God. We're talking about if we understand the perfect love of God, God would never ask us to do anything to fail. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to prosper. You know, I've heard people say, well, God wanted me to start a church over in such and such place because he knew it would fail, but he wanted to be a witness. God did not start the church to fail. He did not get you born again to fail. He did not get you into a situation so that it could fail and God could lift you up as one who endured the failure. That's not his purpose. He wants you to overcome. Not fail, but to overcome. So perfect love casts out fear. As long as I have that fear in me that whatever I'm doing will not work, you're not perfected in the love of God. Because God loves you. He wants you to succeed. If I understand and I'm walking in the perfect love of God, there is no fear of doing what God has asked me to do. Because he's my source. He's my confidence. Amen? You're not amening me real good here. Okay, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. If I'm walking in the perfect love of God, fear is not a part of me. Fear does not attach itself to me because fear involves torment. That's what the scripture says. Fear involves torment. Let me give you a story. In our first church, they came and had a vote on us whether or not we should stay in the church or not. And we were voted in. And 3 months later, they decided they changed their mind. So on Christmas Sunday, they voted us out. Now, in between that time, they withheld our pay. In between that time, they paid off other debts and didn't pay us so that we would resign from the church because we weren't being paid. And all during that time, I had no fear, no hesitation. I knew I was in the will of God. I knew we were preaching the right word. I knew all these things. And there was absolutely no fear at all. And so we went through that. God supplied for us. We had people that didn't know we weren't being paid came up and gave us money. You know, it's just, we never lacked a paycheck, even though the paycheck didn't come from the church. God got us through that. There was no fear. I mean, it didn't matter what was going on. There was absolutely no fear. Now, I wish I could say that about every situation, but that time there was no fear. There was confidence. God is going to provide. God is going to make a way because we are in his will. That's a righteousness attitude. You can get through things if you know God is with you. See, perfect love casts out fear. If I'm walking in the perfect love of God, I have no fear. But now if there's fear, I'm not walking in the perfect love of God because I'm not confident that God is going to meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now I'm looking to myself. I've got to provide this. If you could do it, you'd do it already. Amen. If you could get yourself out of trouble, you would have done it already. God's trying to get us to trust him, to let us understand the power of his love to heal us and wound, or to heal our wounds. He says, fear involves torment. Verse 19 says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Now, we said this last week. If you focus on your love for God, you will be shaken. Because our love for God so often is dependent upon whether God comes through or not. But if our focus is on God's love for you, you cannot be shaken. Because God loves you no matter what. And if I am confident that God loves me, it gives me boldness and confidence in the day of judgment. Amen. This is good stuff. See, this is why God gave us praise. The Bible says praise halts the avenger, the destroyer, the one who comes after us. And I run into so many Christians, well, I just can't praise God like you do. Well, maybe you haven't been bad off like I have been. Maybe you don't hurt like I have. Maybe you've never been in need like I have, because I found out when I hurt the most is when I need to praise the best. I need to exalt him. I need to lift him up. Because if I don't, I'm going to fall into that category of fear. I'm going to worry and worry and worry. So, but I praise God before I have the answer because I am letting his love be perfected in me. See, when we sing these songs, that God will provide, that God will do all these things. I am building my confidence. I am building my boldness. I am building my righteousness. Oh, God, you love me. You will never see me fail. You will never see me fall. You will always come through for me, God, because you love me. And my love for him is just to keep his commandments. But if I focus on that, well, if I didn't keep a commandment, then my love gets shaken. But God always loves me. And every time I come to him, he says the same thing. Son, I love you. Son, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never desert you. See, that's where the fear is. What if I do this and God doesn't come through? Well, you don't trust God. Hello? You don't trust, you're not trusting God in that situation. I say, Gordon, that's pretty hard. That's the truth. Because perfect love casts out fear. If I'm walking in and knowing God's love for me, that he'll never let me fail, I can endure any hardship because God is with me. Amen? Any hardship. I can overcome any situation. Why? God is with me. If I don't believe that, well, buddy, we ought to pack up and go home. This is the end of the road because, well, you never know what God's going to do. Yes, I do. He's going to cause me to succeed. He's going to cause me to prosper. Well, how do you know that? Because God's Bible tells me so. Yes. You know, remember the old children's song? How do I know that Jesus loves me? The Bible tells me so. I mean, we teach our little kids that, and then we grow up as adults. Well, God, I don't know if you still love me the way you used to because I don't feel your closeness to me. Has nothing to do with feelings. My father is dead and in heaven, but do I know that my dad loves me? Yes. Even in heaven, he still loves me. Maybe he's irritated now and then, but he still loves me. But it's like, but I have that confidence. Did Dad love me while he was on earth? I had that confidence. You know, but if you don't have that confidence, you're always going to be questioning. You're always going to be trying to prove yourself. You're always going to be trying to demonstrate something. It's like, no, you've got to accept my natural father, with all of his screw-ups, loved me. He was natural. He loved me the best that he could. He loved me as much as he could. But my heavenly father loves me even more. Hallelujah. See, some people don't know how to love, but God does. So I'm going to let God love me. I'm going to let him perfect me and cast out fear in me. Amen? Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. That's why God gave us praise, is to halt the avenger, to get those negative thoughts of fear and failure and lack out of your head, to get you to focus on something else. Knowing or having assurance of God's love means that God is always for me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. No matter what trial, I am not alone. I will not be abandoned because God is with me. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I will give them eternal," or Zoe, "life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall," listen to this, "neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." He's telling us, man, if you know the voice of God and you follow, no person, no situation can take you out of the hand of God. That means God's provision is always going to be there. God's wisdom is always going to be there. God's anointing is always going to be there. Well, I'm in the hand of God. I'm being held by him. You're in good hands with God. I don't know how Allstate does, but God, you can trust that you are in good hands with God. Amen. Now, this is why on the cross, Jesus cried out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Because for the first time in his life, he felt abandoned. For the first time in his life, God had to separate himself from Jesus. He never had that thought cross his mind. He knew he was going to have to suffer on the cross. He knew, God's always going to be with me. See, he had that righteous consciousness. God is always, he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And then he's hanging on the cross, and he's doing okay. He's hurting. He's in pain, but God is still with him. And all of a sudden, the Father left him. And all of a sudden, the hollowness, the emptiness, alone, all that rushed in on him. My God, why have you forsaken me? He cried out because he couldn't imagine what this would be like. We struggle with it all the time, and yet God hasn't abandoned us. It's our fear that he would. But he had to do it to Jesus because he had to let him be punished. He had to let his son die physically and spiritually and to receive the punishment for you and I. Total abandonment that Jesus could never, never imagine, because faith is natural to a righteous man. Faith is just normal to Jesus. It was who he was, because he knew God was with him. It's living as though sin had never existed, that every need will be satisfied. And on the cross, he was abandoned. Let me just say a couple things about faith. This is from Bill Winston. I thought it was really good. Real faith is not embarrassed. Real faith is not timid, because real faith releases the power of God. Fear contaminates your faith. Some of you have heard that before, but fear contaminates your faith. You cannot walk in faith and fear at the same time. A double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord. We've got to become righteous-minded. When we start walking in righteousness, miracles begin to happen. Why? Because God will supply. When I'm walking in righteousness, I know God is going to override any weakness I have, any lack that I have. God is going to give abundance in the place of my inability. And so I'm going to walk by faith, because God is able. God is willing to do things. Now, why is it that some evangelists, and I could name names that you know about, have fallen into such sin and yet had such miracles in their ministry? Why is that? Because even though they were not living according to a godly character, they still had confidence that God would show up. Isn't that amazing? They still had ability, the knowledge that God will show up. Even though I'm living an adulterous life, even though I'm doing drugs, even though I'm messing around, even though I'm doing all these things that are wrong, even though I'm stealing out of the tin, I know God will show up. And so God shows up, because his gifts and callings are without repentance. He shows up. Why? Because they have faith. In that area, they're walking in righteousness, that my sin will not keep God from moving. Now, the Bible warns us about gaining the whole world and losing your own soul. But at least they had confidence that God would do what he said he would do. And some of us were so introspective. Boy, if I messed up, God won't be with me. God will abandon me. Nothing will work anymore. That's a sin consciousness. And the devil would love to have you just live there for the rest of your life. Because if you do, you will never accomplish anything for God, because you're busy looking at yourself instead of Jesus. Amen. Good preaching, brother. Thank you. Go to Hebrews 10:38. Well, go there. I'll just read that to you. Go to Galatians 3. Hebrews 10:38 says, "The just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." If anyone draws back, see, the righteous man is to live by faith, but if we begin to withdraw from that faith, God does not take pleasure in that. Now, Paul here is, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but Paul is speaking to religious Jews, because they kept trying to pull the Christian from the grace of God back into the letter of the law. And that's what happens when, as Christians, we start living with a sin consciousness. We're starting to be pulled back into the letter of the law, into the legalism, to where we have to do everything perfect or God won't show up. And there's even scripture to back that up. If you broke one part of the law, you're guilty of all of it, because it's all one law. So it's like, boy, I really had a bad day yesterday. I used a word I shouldn't have. I had a thought I shouldn't have had. I did something that I shouldn't have had. And it's like, boy, your whole day is blown, and God can't use you anymore till you repent and do all your things and pay your... No, it's confess, and God will immediately forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Amen? He will do that. But we keep getting pulled back into the law. Galatians 3 addresses that in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And being faith people, we would say, well, faith. Well, then why do you go back and put yourself under the law? That's what he's asking. If the Spirit of God, if your salvation came by grace, why do you put yourself back under the letter of the law? Because the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Now, I'll keep reading before I get into it. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ said, if you start living under one of the laws, you just obligated yourself. You've got to keep all of them now. All 613 laws you've got to keep. If you break one of them, I don't know what all the 613 are. You'd better find out if you're going to live under the law. Because you break one of them, you are guilty of all of them, and you will not get the blessing of Abraham. Can't get it. Not if you're going to live under the law. How did you get saved? Did you get saved by keeping the law? You got saved by grace. You got convicted of sin, of ungodliness, and you gave your heart to Jesus, and God, if you were like me, oh, God, help me. I didn't even know the words come into my life and make me whole. I make you Lord. It's just, oh, God, help me. I was convicted to my core that I was not a Christian. I was not a believer, but I faked it pretty good. And God came into my life, and he turned me around. And at that point, I had an open relationship with the Father, with Jesus. And we began to, I didn't know the Holy Spirit. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit except by name only. But I began to walk in the knowledge that I knew, and God began to reveal himself to me. So it was by faith. But if I'm going to start living by the law, if I break any part of it, I am back under the curse. Oh, I like grace. Oh, I like grace. Grace is so nice. Grace is so beyond my ability to comprehend sometimes. But grace is good. Amen. The law kills. The law puts me back under the curse. How many of you want to be under the curse? Okay. I no hands, no takers for that? Yeah, but we got to live by the law. It's like, but we live by grace. See, the Bible does not say the just shall live by every law of God. It says the just shall live by faith. It's in Habakkuk 2:4. In the Old Testament. The Old Testament talks about Abraham knew God by faith. He was justified by faith. Now let's just keep reading here verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now listen, it says, only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith. We're going to read in a minute, the law did not come until 430 years after Abraham. Abraham didn't know the law. He didn't know the Ten Commandments. All he knew was God. You know, we get being word of faith people. We're like, you got to know the scriptures. Do you know when Paul wrote this, there were only Old Testament scripture? Paul could not turn, as Peter said in 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 5, he couldn't refer people to that. He couldn't refer to them, so go to Romans 16:1. He couldn't refer to that. Read Hebrews 11 on the faith chapter, and you will understand what I'm talking about. They didn't have those things. They wrote them. They had the old covenant. They had Jesus. They had the faith of Abraham, who walked with God and was counted righteous. That's all they had. They didn't have the resources. I hate to say it that way because God's the greatest resource we can ever have. But they didn't have the written resources that we have. They only had God. We would say, well, they're just flying by the seat of their pants. Well, they were flying by the Spirit of God. Yeah. Amen. They knew. read 1 John 1. You'll understand what I'm talking about. I said, we knew these things. We heard him. We handled him. We felt him. We touched him. We were with him. We know what we're talking about because we saw Jesus. And what we heard and what we saw, we're telling you. This is the reality of it. Jesus was born of a man, born as a man, born of a virgin, lived in this world, was crucified, was killed, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead, justifying every messianic promise in the Old Testament about the death and resurrection and the cleanliness that God has given to us. He says, as many as are under the works of the law are cursed, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, couple that with Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. Ooh. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. If you are not living by faith, by confidence in God, oh, do I dare say this? Even though it's biblical, you're in sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. But if I'm walking in faith, oh, praise God. God is faithful and just to forgive us of sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Grace is so, it's like, why is it so hard for us to believe in God? Why is it so hard for us to trust God to meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus? Is because we think more about sin and failure than we do God. That we don't trust God enough to deliver us out of the situation that you're in, to make a difference in your life. The just shall live by faith. If I'm walking in the righteousness of God, faith is just natural. It's just who I am. It's just like Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading in Galatians 3. Go to verse 16. He says, now to Abraham and to seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as to many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ. See, we think Christ has given us a new covenant. Actually, Abraham walked in this new covenant. That's why Jesus could say, Abraham looked forward to my day and saw it and rejoiced in it. Why? Because Abraham was not saved by the law, not by blood sacrifice. He was saved by faith because he saw Jesus slain from the foundation of the world. He saw the love of God. He saw it in the provision. He saw it in his son Isaac. He saw it when God called him up to the mountain and said, you've got to sacrifice your only son, the son of promise. And Abraham was ready to do it. And God stopped his hand and says, no, I'm going to provide a sacrifice for you, this ram that's in a bush. A male sacrifice. A type of Jesus. And all Abraham could say is, God, you are faithful. God, you promised me a son, and in my old age, you gave me a son. And God, you told me to give him. And Lord, I was trusting you that you would give him back even from the dead to me. See, Abraham saw. He was justified by faith. He saw these things. He understood the love of God. And he believed. Didn't have Moses, didn't have the Ten Commandments, didn't have diddly squat. And he believed God. And our problem is, we shouldn't have a problem, should we? If Abraham can do it, this is why I said the blessing came on Abraham. This is why God blessed Abraham and said, your seed, talking about the Messiah, your seed is going to bless every person in the world. Because Abram had enough faith to believe God. Verse 18, still Galatians 3. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. That means this thing of mediation is not between God and God, because God's one. It's between man and God. This is to mediate the issue of our separation, of our division, of our not understanding. This is what the mediator does. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. See, if I believe in Jesus, I'm walking in righteousness. And if I'm walking in righteousness, the promise is given to me. The promise of the Messiah, the promise of healing, the promise of abundance, the promise of overcoming, the promise of victory. All that has been given to me in Christ Jesus. Why? Theologically, how do we make that leap? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. Even death could not hold him. If death couldn't hold him, death can't hold me. Why? Because I'm hidden in Christ. If I'm walking in righteousness, death itself no longer has fear over me. They asked, I forget who it was, it's a current person that's alive, and he said, you've received death threats, you've received all these things that of people want to kill you for preaching the gospel. Are you worried about it? He says, no, not at all. So what? You're getting death threats through the mail, on the internet, and all this stuff you're getting. I mean, these are prominent groups. Al-Qaeda is threatening to murder him. Different groups are saying, we're going to kill you. You're going to die. Aren't you afraid? Aren't you worried about it? He says, if they kill me, I'm going to be with the Lord. Now, I'm not sure I'm to that point yet, to be blunt. I really don't want to die. But he is so confident of who he is in God. I am too. I mean, I know I'm going to be with the Lord if I get killed. I'm just not ready to go. You know, I say I tell people, I said, I'm prepared. I'm not willing. I'm not ready to hang it up yet. I don't think he is either. But he's got the confidence. Hey, if they kill me, I'm going to be with Jesus. So death no longer has hold on him. Well, in death there is fear. In death, there is that fear of abandonment. There is that lack that God is not going to be able to make provision for me. But when you overcome the fear of death, it's like, what can men do to you anymore? Because that's the ultimate fear, is death. But I'm going to be with God. Hallelujah. We'll have a party. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's keep on reading. Verse 22, but the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? We've put on Christ. If you're a believer, you've put on Christ. The law was a tutor to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ, meaning that let me say it like this. If you're not walking in faith, you're automatically back under the law because God's trying to lead you back to Christ. In faith. If you're not in faith, you're under the law. That's why you feel condemned when you're not in faith. It's not just that you've sinned, but you're back under the law. And the law comes to condemn you, and the only way you can get out of the law is to look to where the law is trying to point you, which is to Jesus Christ, that you can walk by faith, that you can be free from the law. Go to Romans 8. The law condemns, but life comes through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There's no condemnation. If I'm walking in belief and faith in Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. Now, that's not just saying, if you walk in Jesus, there's no condemnation. It means if I'm walking in Jesus, there's nothing that can condemn me. There's no weapon formed that can come against me. I'm walking in Jesus Christ. I'm not walking by the flesh, I'm walking by the Spirit. But don't you hear the threats? I'm not moved by that. Why? I'm walking in the Spirit. Well, don't you understand that you don't have the money to do this? I don't care. I'm not walking in the flesh. I'm not walking according to what I see. I'm not walking according to the natural vision. I'm walking in a supernatural vision that God will provide. Just like Abraham on the mountaintop, God will provide a sacrifice. But Dad, why am I carrying up this wood? Where's the sacrifice, Dad? God will provide. God will provide. So it's that kind of faith that Abraham had. It's that kind of faith that we have in Jesus Christ, that we're born again. It's that kind of faith. God will provide. God is more than able, and He's willing. He's willing. I don't have to earn it. I can't do enough to earn it. But I receive it by faith, because I understand the grace that God has given to me, and grace is activated by faith. Amen? Romans 3:28, I like this one. You can turn there if you want. He says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." We're justified by faith. Every time I believe in Jesus, I'm justified. Every time I believe in Jesus, how are you going to do that? Jesus. Where are you going to get the money? Jesus. How are you going to, you can't heal anybody. What are you going to do laying hands on the sick? How is that going to work? Jesus. See, it's all Jesus. I could go back and tell you the story right now of when I started preaching. And when I was a itinerant preacher and preaching in different churches, I would get sick as a dog before I preached. I would have dry heaves. I wouldn't eat anything the night before. I'd get up that morning. I wouldn't eat anything that morning, and I'd still have dry heaves. And I remember going into the Church of the Brethren in West Milton, Ohio. And we got there about half an hour early and sat in the parking lot. No cars around. Nobody was there. They said the door would be open. We sat there. I got calmed down again. Hadn't had any dry heaves all morning. First time, it's like, glory to God, I got this baby beat. And we get up after a half hour and walk into the church, and there's two deacons. "Glad to see you. You're Gordon Brubaker, aren't you?" I go, "Yeah. We're glad to have you here with us. We're just so excited to have you." And I mean, they didn't. They're just being nice. They didn't know me from Adam. But they just were being nice. And we're standing in the foyer of the church talking. I just wanted to get up in the sanctuary and sit and feel the room. In other words, I wanted to get there and get calmed down again, because just walking in the church doors got everything all aflutter. And we're standing there talking to these guys, and all of a sudden I said, "Where's your bathroom?" I mean, it's stirring. And they said, "Well, down the steps." So, excuse me for a minute. I go down the steps. I dry heaved into the toilet. Nothing came up. And I turned around. I was mad at God. Have you ever been mad at God? I said, "God, we made a deal. When you called me into the ministry, I said, I'll go, but I said, you're responsible for the preaching. And you said, okay." I was stunned at that. God just said, okay. I thought I had God in a box. "You're going to be in charge of this thing, because I can't, I people scared the bejeebers out of me." And so God said, okay. And I reminded him of that. I said, when are you going to start? He said, when are you going to give it to me? He says, you haven't let me yet. And that day, I committed to God. I said, Lord, I don't care. It's up to you. I yield it over to you. I never had that problem since. Praise God. See, I was called, but I hadn't submitted myself to him. Lord, if you called me to preach, he's got to do it anyway. Amen? He's got to do it. I can't do it. I don't have the wisdom to do it. I'm not boasting on myself, but I've had people come up to me and say, boy, you learned a lot in seminary. Let me tell you, everything I'm preaching to you, I did not get out of seminary. I did not get out of books, although books help. I got it out of the scripture, out of the Bible, out of spending time with God. I want to tell you, he's real. And if you will depend on him and lean on him with all your understanding, he is more than enough to handle every situation you encounter and to cause you to be a victor in it. Not to just survive it, to overcome it. Amen? Overcome it. We have an overcoming faith if we will believe in him. Paul concluded like this in Romans chapter 1. I'll close with this. Romans 1:16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Wow. This is what it's all about. I'm not ashamed. Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And to any need that I have, any situation, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the liberty, is the freedom, is the power, is the way of escape, is the access into whatever you need, the gospel of Jesus Christ is, because all things in heaven and earth have been given unto Jesus. And he said, in my authority you go. You go and take dominion. You go and preach the gospel. I like Mark says to every creature. Every creature. Man, the dogs, the vermin on my property are subject to me in Jesus' name. Amen? I mean everything. God told Abraham, he said, I'll bless the cattle on your hills. I'll bless the sheep in your pastures. I'll bless the horses in your stall. I'll bless all your animals if you'll just believe me. It's time to believe. In this world, it is time to believe. God is the only source, that the only provision that we have. But he's more than enough. More than enough. Have faith in God. Jesus said, have the faith of God. Mark 11, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Have the righteousness. I trust in God. I'm righteous. Well, who do you think you are? I'm nobody, but God is everything. And he said, I'm righteous, so I'm just going to believe him. I'm just going to believe him. It's called faith. I'm going to believe what God says. I'm not going to believe anything that comes against that. I'm going to believe that God is my source and God has made me able to overcome everything. Amen. 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 Let's stand up. Did you get something out of this? Yes. Say this with me. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. All things have been given unto me in heaven and on earth. God is my supply. He is my source. He is my help in time of trouble. He is all I need, and he is more than I need. Because he meets my every need according to his riches, in glory, in Christ Jesus, and he never runs out. Amen, amen, amen. Father, we thank you today that Jesus is our source. We thank you, Father, that Jesus is our supply. We thank you, God, that our faith in you taps those resources. And Lord, we thank you that now in the name of Jesus, we have wisdom. Because that's what Corinthians says. We have the wisdom of God. We have the abundance of God. We have everything we need because Christ is in us. And Lord, we give you praise and honor for this, that we will never run short, that you will never abandon us, that no one, no situation can take us out of your hand. Because we believe in you, God. We believe in you. We believe on you. We believe through you, Father. In any way that we can, God, we believe that Jesus is our Savior and our Deliverer. And we give you praise, Father, for this work that you have done to give to us, and we freely receive your gift of righteousness in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you.